Thanks for tuning in to Conversations About Meaningful Things, the podcast where we dig into life, faith, and all the important questions. In a world that can feel isolating sometimes, we want to encourage you that you're not alone, that God loves you and isn't afraid of your questions. And that's the purpose of this podcast. In our time together, you can expect real talk, genuine interviews, and probably a few laughs along the way. Our hope is as you connect, you feel seen, loved, and encouraged as you take steps in your faith journey. So settle in and let's dive into the conversation. We're so happy to have you along.
Hello and welcome back to Conversations About Meaningful Things, where we like to talk about things that are meaningful to you, to us, to honestly most people. And my name is Brian. I'm one of the hosts here. Across the table from me is
Alex. Hey, what's up, guys?
How's it going?
Doing well, man. Doing really good. I was gonna say well and good at the same time. That didn't
doing
sound right.
Well,
I'm doing well. Doing very well.
Currently in recording, we would normally pass to our third co-host, Steve. Yeah. He is currently in Latvia with our missions team over there from our church. So for some reason, he wasn't able to make it in.
I know.
To record today.
I'm heartbroken. Steve, if you're listening, we miss you.
Yeah. I miss you, Steve. Hope you guys are having a blast doing the Lord's work over there. Yeah. Anyway, Alex, who else is with us?
Yeah. So in lieu of Steve not being with us today, we're really, really excited to have our guest here today. Before I intro our guest, just want to intro the topic for the day. So one of the things, Brian, you're currently in student ministry. You're coming up on a decade, right, of student ministry?
I have hit a decade.
It's amazing. Yes. That's incredible.
A decade in a couple of months.
Dude.
It's crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I've got many years of student ministry experience, as well as Steve does as well. We talk about that a lot. So one of the things that we're really passionate about is as we see students develop in their faith, own it, walk with God, we see this thing happen, unfortunately, a lot in the life of young people as they mm-hmm. step off kind of that transition point from high school to college and sometimes sort of fall away from their faith, whether that's just the influences around them or they hit really challenging times and it sort of rocks them to their core. And so we want to talk about that today. And with us, we have Emmett Jamison. What's
Hello.
Up, Emmett?
You can call me Steve.
Hi, Steve. Yeah. You'll have to grow a mustache for that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Lose some hair on the top. Just a bit.
So, that's all,
okay. Really excited to have you on today, Emmett. Emmett does a lot here at the church, but he has a really unique perspective on this as well. We've had lots of conversations about this because, Emmett, you're a young guy. How old are you, Emmett?
19.
19. Awesome, man. Mm-hmm. You're in your second year of college?
Yeah. Well,
going into your second year.
Sort of. Yeah. Yeah. I'm a junior now, but yeah.
You're like a crazy like ninja with college. You're like, you're doing summer school and all that so you can graduate early.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. Mm-hmm.
You're awesome, man. Oh my gosh.
Thanks.
So Emmett, you're in college right now. You've been walking with Jesus, and every time I connect with you, man, I know Brian can probably say mm-hmm. the same thing. So encouraged by you, man, and your faith.
Yeah. Thanks.
You clearly like it's not just you're just going through the motions. Like you love God and you're on fire for Him and excited about the things of God. So man, I just want to ask you like what happened? Like, what was that moment for you that God really became real to you? And you're like, mm-hmm. okay, this thing isn't just going through the motions. Like I want to follow Jesus and He's changed my life. What was that moment like for you?
I thought about this before when you mentioned the topic to me. And I kind of came up with like the one liner of like, just try not having God in your life and see how it goes. Mm-hmm. I think, yeah. After high school, I didn't necessarily like try to not have him in my life,
yeah.
But I drifted from him a bit and it didn't work so well. Mm-hmm. But because of my prior knowledge of him, I knew what was wrong and I knew I had to put my faith in him.
Yeah.
So when I learned the difference between like putting in the work, like doing the motions, but then like actually having a relationship with mm-hmm. him, it's like a light switch flipped on, and it just all changes, and you realize what it's really about. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of young people kind of have that. It's like it's a duty, a job that they have to do. Mm-hmm. But when you have a relationship, it becomes something else.
Yeah. Dude, okay, so I think you said something really important there, the duty versus relationship. Mm-hmm. Can you unpack mm-hmm. that a little bit? Like, what's the difference between those two?
Yeah, well, growing up, I kind of had the idea that God is God, but you can't, like, have a relationship conversation with him. You're kind of mm-hmm. just worshiping him externally.
Okay.
I've given this analogy before, but if you're familiar with How to Train Your Dragon, at the end of it, there's
great movie.
This giant dragon in the mountain, and all they do is like feed this thing so that it won't kill them, basically. Mm-hmm. And they're just giving offerings and they're not getting anything back from it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it felt like. And so that's why I kind of like drifted after high school, because it was like, you know, I don't want to just be like giving offerings to this thing I don't really believe in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But a relationship is so different. And you end up wanting to do the duties, I guess. Mm-hmm. You want to put in the work, you know?
Yeah. That's awesome, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Just thinking about, what a relationship is, right? So if you're, Emmeth, are you married? You're 19?
No.
You are not. Okay. Cool. I knew that. But for any of your listeners who are or are aspiring to be, it can be easy to fall into the, well, I'm just fulfilling this role, but that's not a healthy, happy marriage.
Yeah.
Whereas if you go, hey, I love this person, like I want what's best for them, and I love them so much that what I'm hearing you say is that the duties aren't really duties anymore. They're mm-hmm. you're happy mm-hmm. to do that. You're happy to serve God because you realize how amazing God is.
Yeah.
So you had that transition. So coming out of high school, kind of end of high school, coming out of high school, you were hitting that that drift. And then was there any specific thing that made you realize the need for the relationship?
Sorry, give me a second to think
about
it.
You're good.
You can cut this.
We good. And also feel you don't need to go as deep or too deep.
I just want to get it right. If I
absolutely.
Think about it in the car on the way home.
I do that all the time, man.
It must have been some message during December. Because I remember it was pretty much during December. And I remember for our graduation gift last year, the church gave us a devotion book one day every day for the year.
Yeah.
And I was determined to start it on January 1st when I got it.
Yeah.
And I knew that was coming up. So I was like, hey, I'll give this thing a try for real, and I'll really dive in January 1st. And I went on a trip and I came back January 1st. So it was kind of just like a new beginning for everything. Right. And the night I got back, I read the first one and I was like, hey, this is pretty good. It's just one page and I can do this every night.
Yeah.
And now we're halfway through the book, over halfway now. Yeah. And it's not just like I only did that, but it must have been some service where Steve emphasized like, most people meet God right at the bottom, because I remember that hitting me at some point around there that I was at rock bottom, and I was like, wait, this is where I meet God.
Yeah.
Very cool. You're saying it was a decision, right? That song, I have decided to follow Jesus. Quite literally. Yeah. It's you decided. Working with teens, it's always interesting because it's all across the board. How they view faith. It's very easy for it to be kind of a familial or cultural, like, well, I guess my grandma loves God, so I guess I do too, right? It's passed down like that.
Yeah.
Or my parents make me read my Bible every night. And I think that might be one of the reasons we see young adults fall away from the faith for at least a bit, is that they're coming out of that that umbrella of their parents saying, hey, you got to do this, you got to do this. So once they don't have that, they don't have the person saying that, or maybe their parents are still saying it, but they have the ability to say, no, thank you. I'm an adult now. That then you don't have anything. What I'm hearing is you're saying, hey, like, I'm telling myself now, I'm deciding myself, this is what I want.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to put in the effort to grow closer to God and maintain that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It 100% is like the decision.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool.
You don't like casually drift into a strong relationship with God. Like, you have to commit to it. It's like with anybody else. I've used this analogy before, but like, if you're wanting to date somebody, you don't just look at them across the room and wonder why after months you're not dating them just by looking at them.
Yeah.
You know, you have to like approach them and talk to them and foster a relationship. And you have to do that with God too. Absolutely. But the difference with God is that like, he can't like reject you, you know, he will accept you. So,
He's waiting.
It's a sure relationship.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And he's like, he's doing 99% of the work, right?
Right. Yeah.
we're just turning towards him.
Yeah.
So, Emmett, Brian just alluded to this, just that sort of phenomenon of a person walking away from the faith or fizzling out, or maybe not even just doing what you did, which was just make faith their own. Maybe that never happened, and they stepped into an environment where they now have a choice to or not to. What do you see as maybe some of the primary reasons why people choose to walk away or not take hold of faith for themselves?
I think because life is hard and they're suffering. Just, you know, I hear that across the board from my friends who have either walked away or come back. They have some explanation to that question.
Yeah.
And I think people who grow bitter about it, it, funny enough, tends to be people who suffered like what I think to be a little bit less, who I think that there's more suffering in the world, but then people who have gone through a lot really find God there.
Yeah.
And I think it's that, like, it's your mindset on what, why is there suffering, you know?
Yeah. Do you think it's, the suffering is it's maybe chiseling away at maybe a belief they had about God that wasn't true?
Beginning, I mean, we're taught God is always good, and then they see a family member die of cancer or something, and they were praying the whole time, and he didn't save them. Why?
Yeah.
But it's the person who realizes, like, it's not God punishing you with, you know, killing off this person with cancer. No, it's because sin entered the world, and, you know, he lets it be so that we have the free choice of whether to follow him or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that he's, you know, condemning the world by plaguing us. It's that, you know, Satan fell and corrupted the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. So I think another, dude, that's so good. And I love what you said about suffering, because I think sometimes a misconception that we can have about following Jesus is, oh, so I put my faith in Jesus and then he makes everything in my life just work out perfectly. I don't have to suffer anymore. I don't have to struggle anymore. And then they're smacked with the reality of life and brokenness and sin and all those things that the world is filled with, and go, well, where's God? Like you just said.
Yeah.
I think it's just interesting to point out, like, Jesus even said himself, like, in this world, you're going to have trouble.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't say maybe it'll happen or hopefully it won't. It goes, no, you will, but take heart because I've overcome the world. And like what you just said is meeting people that they've actually found God in those deep places of distress and suffering, like God met them there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just curious, man, like, you know, one of the things that I've seen in my years of doing student ministry is it's like there's maybe those people in that person's life, in our lives, that were like, okay, I'm sort of hanging my faith on them. Like maybe it was a grandma, or a parent that was really strong, that they took me to church, but now I'm out on my own. I don't have that anymore. Can you speak to that person? Cause I know, like, dude, you graduated and then you were kind of on your own, right? What was important for you? Like, who were the people that you went to, or what were some things that you found as you're going, okay, I'm making this faith thing my own, but also, like, we need other people around us. Like, can you talk a little bit about maybe the importance of that in your life?
I think that's where I realized that God is more real than I thought, because I didn't know who to go to, and he just like put people in my life.
Oh man.
Also on like the suffering thing really quick. I think like when you become a Christian, there is more suffering to be honest, but it's not like you want to go through it because you know it's going to make you better.
Yeah.
But I know personally, like the internal spiritual battle is tough a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm just like pretty much like 24/7 just dwelling on that and trying to, you know, work my way through it.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyways, God put people in my life. I remember, there were two times in the summer when I was going through some pretty tough stuff. And, I was pretty much giving up at those two points. And two people from high school randomly reached out and just said, you know, hey, I don't know why I'm reaching out to you, but that's I felt crazy, like man. God wanted to tell me that everything's going to be all right. And two people separately said the same thing. And I was like, that's, you know, that's crazy. That's not just coincidence when it's twice, you know? So, that's when I really realized he was real. So then it was like through the rest of the 6 months that I was just kind of like, you know, is he real? Is he not? Do I feel it? Do I not? And then I was like, I got on the other side of a lot of the suffering and I saw what God did. And I was like, all right, you know, now I have to take this serious, you know?
It's awesome, man.
So cool.
Yeah.
And yeah, just to kind of cap the suffering discussion, I did not realize we were going to get so deep so quickly on this episode. I love it. But yeah, so for anyone who's had that, that question in their mind as well, if you're listening to this right now, the biggest point of the gospel, which means good news, is that there's more to the story. It's not just the life that we have here now. With our life now on earth is just a blip of eternity, where the promise that God gives us is that if we accept Jesus, that we are able to live in eternity with him where there is no suffering, that everything will be made better. It just stinks that right now we are stuck in the fallen world because of sin. But we are still able to accept Christ and everything. So yeah. But Alex, you said something about getting slapped with the realization that life is hard. And I do think that for young adults transitioning from high school, where again they're at home, they're eating their meals that their parents made them, they're whatever, have a nice bed, they don't have to worry about maybe having a job yet, and then they go to college, and then all of a sudden there's a lot more responsibilities and a lot more stress. And so maybe they had the wrong notion that following Jesus, everything was always going to be taken care of and good and easy. And then all of a sudden, nope, you got to find your own food. You got to, you don't have a mom to wake you up in the morning to get to class on time. You have to do that yourself. Emmett, do you think that that is one of the reasons why young adults kind of,
That's huge. Those are the words I was looking for, like responsibility. They think that's suffering, but responsibility is not suffering. It's, you know, there's a lot of responsibility in life that is hard, but it's not, you know, it's not to be said it's suffering or anything. Like everyone gets up at a certain time in the day, does things they don't want to do. It's not necessarily like that you're just suffering worse than anybody else. It's like, that's just life. You know?
I think, and maybe we don't get into this today. Maybe we do. I don't know. But like the buzzword in the past couple of years has been deconstruction, right? Like, and if you don't know what that is, the idea of taking your faith or your, at least your belief about God and just completely tearing it down to the studs. And most of the time it means completely abandoning any faith at all, based on whatever. And I think you hit on it, Emmett. I think, a lot of it has to do with, I feel like I'm suffering and God has failed me, or my idea of who God is has failed me, so I must reject all of that.
Yeah.
And I don't think this is just a student going into college. I think this can happen to anybody in their life. But I've heard this term, and instead of deconstruction, approaching taking what we believe about God and detangling. Mm-hmm. Detangling involves sifting through, okay, what is true about God? What is not true? What have I believed or what have I been told about who he is that just really isn't true? I do wonder if that's a more honest approach to that, but I'm just curious, like in your walk, I mean, especially as you've seen maybe peers or friends that have maybe walked through this themselves, has that played a role in making faith your own and standing on the truth, like sifting through those things? What's that journey been like for you?
Yeah, I think that's crucial. We do that for anything else, and I wonder why we're so unwilling to do that for God.
Yeah.
You know, we'll dive in at 3 a.m. watching YouTube videos for anything else right. to try and figure it out to the bottom.
Yeah.
But it's really doing that about God. And there were a couple resources. One was the devotion book that kind of like got me jump started.
Yeah.
And it'll hit me with random topics and I'm like, oh, I need to dive into this and actually figure it out. And sometimes I disagree with the book, but it got me to a point where I dove in. But I'm very logically brained. I have to figure things out to the core.
Sure.
So when I believe something, you know, I've done my work.
Yes.
There's a couple people. There's another podcast, big guy right now, George Janko. And I've sort of watched his journey too. Yeah. And he's learning the whole time. So every guest he has on, his whole goal is to learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so watching him, I'm also learning. I'm basically him, but sitting in the car, not in the room. And they ask the deep, deep questions that nobody really wants to ask. And that's what was the holdup for me, those things that nobody wants to talk about because it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those resources. There's a pastor, Cliff Connectly, I think is how you say it, watching him a lot. And he's really, really good. I mean, his main thing is apologetics. And so he was kind of just like answering those deep questions. And
yeah. For those that don't know, how would you define apologetics?
I guess kind of like the evidence for Christianity.
Yeah.
So, you know, like in science, they'll give you, you know, all the reasons why the laws of physics work.
Yep.
And they'll give you the equations and you're just supposed to trust that it works. And sometimes you have to, you have to have faith to believe that the laws of physics work.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you could have less faith about God and still see works in your life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Awesome, man.
Cool.
Yeah. So I'm thinking from that listener that's watching their loved one or their kid, maybe walking through this themselves. You know, I just think about people in my life that I care about that maybe is going through this whole sort of figuring out what faith is for them and on that sort of knife's edge, if you will, of completely abandoning their faith or doing what you did, Emmeth, and really asking the hard questions and finding God in the midst of that. I'm just curious, how would you encourage that person that maybe even thinks like, I don't know what to say to this person going through this. I don't know. I don't have the right words. I don't know what to do. Could you talk for a moment just what was helpful for you as you were walking through sort of making faith your own and running with it? What were some of those people that were helpful in your life that maybe they didn't even realize that they were? Encourage that person for a second.
There was this guy, Nate, who I worked with over the summer. I didn't have a job, and my parents moved less than a week after I graduated.
Yeah.
So I moved in with some friends, and I needed a job. So I started working construction with Nate, and he's a devout Christian. And on the way to work, we're listening to his interesting taste in music, but it's like gospel music, you could say.
Old school stuff.
It's really cool. I found a love for that stuff after a while. Yeah. I'm trying to balance this here. Cause I would say if you're trying to help somebody, never belabor them with it.
Yeah.
Never make it like a chore.
Mm-hmm.
But, what was helpful for me was like the constant you know, I'm working with this guy and he just is so on fire about God. And he also had quite a past and would talk about it frequently. And just seeing how his life transformed to be what it was. And I mean, every single day for 2 months, I'm just sitting there listening to him. We had the music on. At lunch, he would hand me a Bible and he'd say, go here and we're going to talk about this. And it was really, really cool. So, and it's also construction. I mean, it teaches you hard work. And, you know, especially at that time, I didn't have a lot of energy. So, I mean, it was really, it was tough, but, yeah, that was kind of like the person who helped me. And I'm thinking if I was that person, you know, I've walked a few friends to finding faith, and there's never a sure answer for everybody, I think. I think it's just being welcoming and not, you don't need to convict them of their sin because the Holy Spirit's going to do that if he meets them there. Because a lot of people, you just, if you tell them, you know, your sin is dooming you to hell, they're just going to shut down. So it's walking that boundary. But, you know, I guess most importantly, like, what are the fruits in your life that they can see? You know, if they can come to you and say, what's different about you because I'm struggling, that's what matters, really. You know? It's not necessarily anything you're going to tell them. It's kind of just like, you know, by their fruits.
So, that's great advice, man. I think just being faithful and, one thing you didn't mention, but tied in with all those things, I think, is just being faithful in prayer. Like, don't underestimate the power of prayer. I had a friend once who, he went pretty hard into drugs in high school and got saved after, he graduated, and he still had friends living that lifestyle. And I asked him, like, what happened? And he goes, I've asked myself the same question. Why me, God? And why not my friends? And he goes, they don't have anybody praying for them. Like, he goes, I know that God used the prayers of my family who love me, of my friends who had been praying for me to reach me. And God met me in that place. And he goes, I'm praying for my friends every day. But I have to believe that God used that in mighty ways to change my life. So don't underestimate the power of prayer as well for that person.
That's awesome. We're going to be wrapping up here in a minute. My question, I guess, for you, Emmeth, is do you have any little piece of advice for those young adults who do have faith right now? Maybe they are in that transition period of going from high school to college, college to the real world, quote unquote, or even, you know, those people who are going through some big transition. Do you have any sort of advice for holding on to maybe not, deconstruct is a funny one. I see it more as a demolition, but or maybe a renovation is better, but Is there any little tidbit of advice that you would give to people of how they can kind of hold on to that faith while going through?
For sure, test it and really come to the root of those things. Like we said, renovate it. Also, it comes down to faith, really. Like, nobody wants to go through change, but life is going to change whether you want it to or not. It's just going to keep on going. And so if you're going to change either way, try change both ways and see which one works better. You know, I'm not going to say this as advice, but, you know, it's kind of just the whole, like, try it with God and without God, and, you know, you'll know which one is better. I recommend just sticking with God. But, there's like the baseline, like, I believe that God can do this, but try to really, like, believe it for a second. Just take a deep breath and say, no, God's got this. And, you know, you'll see it transform over a while. You know, it might take a long time, but also, don't just be instantly convinced by anything you hear. Because I've seen that happen to people. They'll hear one person say something and they're like, all right, that's it. I'm dropping it all. You know, it's like, no, they just put a good argument together really quick and you just believed it instantly. So
yeah.
So not only like renovate your own ideas, but know the enemy's ideas better than them, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. really figure that stuff out. Cause then you never know if they'll have a friend, you know, or if you'll have a friend down the road who needs your help.
Yeah.
But because you know the other side mm-hmm. better than they do, you know how to help.
Yeah. So hold on to it, but don't hold on to it blindly.
Right.
That's what I'm hearing.
They say blind faith sometimes. And I mean, sometimes that's required, but I think a lot of the time it's really not blind. You've seen how God works in life and you just apply that forward.
Right.
Absolutely.
Trust in him now because of what he's done before.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah,
exactly. Dude, Emmeth, such great advice, man. And so good having you on today, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think we'll definitely try to have you on again, man. Just appreciate your heart and love chatting with you. And I hope if you're listening today, whether you are a student or maybe someone pouring into a student or someone going through a transition in your life, I hope you found today encouraging and just want to encourage you, just as Emmeth shared, that take your faith and make it your own. Mm-hmm. Seek God. He is not playing a cosmic game of hide and seek. Like, he wants you to know him and find him. Mm-hmm. As we wrap, especially if you are transitioning, one of the best things that I've found is find a group of people that love Jesus that you can connect with.
Yes.
If you're going off to college, do some research on what local churches are around you, campus ministries, get plugged in with those, even if it feels like I don't have time. You do have time and make that a priority because that's where you're going to continue to grow and learn. Surround yourself with people that love you and love Jesus. And we're here as well. We'd love to encourage you. If you are in this boat and you're just going, man, I just need some suggestions or help, we'd love to chat with you. You can reach out to us at podcast@victorchurch.org. We check that inbox weekly and would love to connect with you that way. But we hope that you are encouraged today. Hope that you are encouraged in your faith and encouraged in life. So thanks for hanging with us today. Catch you on the next one.
See
you guys.